Well, there were two fellows in their 70s, and they had played golf together every Saturday morning for 50 years. Imagine that. Never missed a Saturday morning round of golf in 50 years. And they always had a deal with each other. They said whoever dies first would have to come back from heaven and reveal to the other person what the golf courses were like in heaven. Well, the one fellow died, and shortly thereafter, he appeared to his friend and says, "I have some great news, but I have some bad news." And the fellow said, "Well, what's the good news?" And the fellow that came down from heaven said, "You will love the golf in heaven. There are hundreds of golf courses. They're all free. They're all so beautiful. Everyone is more beautiful than Pebble Beach. And you're guaranteed to get a hole in one every round." And the fellow said, "That's incredible. What's the bad news?" His friend said, "You're teeing off tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. Well, with the feast day of the Assumption, there's no bad news. It's only good news. The Blessed Mother was assumed body and soul into heaven. And that's good news for her. It's good news for us. Because we are the church. And we are looking forward to what Mary is now enjoying. That's why the church says that this feast day is a great feast day of hope. It's a great feast day of comfort, because what Mary has now experienced, being body and soul assumed into heaven, one day the church will participate in that glory as well. So Mary is the foreshadowing. She is the precursor. She is the first fruits of Jesus' resurrection. And what she has gone through now, we hope to go through as well. There are two words we should always remember when we think about the assumption of Our Lady into heaven. The first word is participation, and the second word is anticipation. Right now, Mary is partaking in the glory of her divine Son, Jesus. She's able to participate in the resurrection right now, body and soul in heaven. She does not have to wait until the second coming of Christ to receive her glorified body. So right now, Mary has a participation in the glory of her divine Son. But the other word is anticipation. And the church says that what Mary has gone through, we anticipate our own selves going through, because Mary is the pattern for what the church will one day be. She is the great foreshadowing and the great prefigurement of what we hope to enjoy as well in the kingdom of God. So what is this feast day of the Assumption of Our Lady all about? Well, this feast day says that and reminds us that at the end of Mary's earthly life, she was taken up body and soul into heaven to be reunited with her divine Son. This was officially declared on November 1st in the year 1950 by Pope Pius XII. That's when the dogma was infallibly defined. But it's been a constant teaching of the church for 2,000 years. This is not something invented by the church. It's not something created by the church. It's a teaching that has been there from the earliest days of Christianity. Even as far back to the year 400, there were liturgies which honored Our Lady's Assumption into heaven. This was not invented in 1950. This is something that believed since the earliest days. They called it the Dormition of Our Lady, the falling asleep of Our Lady, and that she was then taken body and soul into heaven. So God did not allow her body to corrupt and decay. And it's so fitting that the Lord honored his mother in this way. See, if we could honor our own mother, would we not want her given a special place of honor and glory in the kingdom of heaven. And certainly Jesus honored his Blessed Mother and would not allow her body to corrupt and decay, because she was the Immaculate Conception. She had no sin. She was conceived without original sin. She never committed any sin. Therefore, she never came under the effects of sin. She never had to experience a death or even bodily corruption. She had become the living tabernacle of God, the living dwelling place of God. For 9 months, Jesus, the Son of God, lived within her womb. So she was a living tabernacle. She was the new Eve, the Immaculate Conception. She was the Ark of the New Covenant. And God preserved Mary, the Ark of the New Covenant, from corruption or decay. That's what we celebrate today, Mary's participation in the glory of the resurrection. Again, Mary is so special. She does not have to wait until the end of the world, the second coming of Christ, the general resurrection, to receive her glorified body. She received it immediately at the end of her life, taken up into heaven as the new Ark of the Covenant, radiant in beauty, where Mary now lives, body and soul, in heaven. So when we think about this feast day, we know that we have relics and the bones of all the other saints. We have the bones of St. Peter under the Basilica in Rome. We have the bones of St. Paul. We have the relics of all the apostles. But no one has ever claimed to have the relics of Mary, first-class relics, any of her bones or any of her remains, because, as Scott Hahn says, there are no bones about it. She was taken body and soul into heaven. No city has ever claimed to have the bones or the remains of Mary, because she was taken up at the end of her earthly life. We have the relics and the tombs of all the other apostles, but we do not have our Blessed Mother, because she now is at the right hand of her divine Son, Jesus, in the kingdom of heaven. So remember those two words, participation and anticipation. Mary was so closely united to her divine Son that she now participates in the glory of the resurrection, and we look forward to our anticipation of one day being in heaven with our Lord, the Blessed Mother, the angels, and the saints. That's why the Church calls today's feast day a feast day of hope and a feast day of comfort for people on their pilgrim way to heaven. Mary has made it there. She's one of us. She's a human being. She's not God. She's not a goddess. She's a human being. But God lifted her up to enjoy heavenly glory right now as the pattern and the model for the Church. So that's why Mary is called our hope and our comfort as we journey through the valley of tears to the kingdom of heaven. And every time we meditate upon this fourth glorious mystery of the Rosary, we should pray for two special graces. One is the grace of a happy death. That means to die in the arms of Jesus and Mary, to die in the state of grace, to die with the sacraments, with Holy Communion, confession, the anointing, the last rites. We should always pray every day for a happy death. In fact, when we say the Hail Mary, we say, pray for us now and at the hour of our death. 50 times every day, we should pray that prayer. Pray for us now and at the hour of our death, because we want a holy death. We want a happy death, a death by which we transition from this world into eternity. So we should pray for a happy death, and we should also pray for a desire for heaven above all things, to realize how passing this world is, how temporary this world is. We're not here forever. We're just passing through. We're pilgrims, and we pray in this fourth glorious mystery for the grace to desire heaven above all things.